Does nobody want all this extra crude oil? A Marketplace Explainer. I'm David Brancaccio. First, to the through-the-looking-glass world of the price of crude oil, which fell through the floor over the last day to the point that wholesale oil was free for the taking. Actually, it was more than free. Here's Amy Myers Jaffe, senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations.
I literally have to find someone who can take the oil from me, and I have to pay them to do that, as opposed to somebody wants the oil, and they would pay me.
Like some sort of unloved, broken-down junk car you pay to have towed off to the junkyard. To understand how oil can have a negative price, it was minus $34 a barrel for a moment yesterday. You have to understand that futures markets like this are not just an abstraction, not just computer data being traded back and forth. The price is for real barrels of blue-brown, gooey oil set for delivery next month. And there's just too much of it following the Saudi-Russia price war and plummeting demand for fuel given the pandemic. It's to the point, Jaffe says, that producers are running out of places to put the overflow.
I have to put more and more oil into storage, and at some point I might physically run out of places to put the oil.
Yeah, you see it in other commodity markets where farmers, for instance, will dump milk into the ground because they can't sell it. Well, oil producers can't do that.
That's energy economist Philip Verleger, who was a senior advisor to the Carter administration. But why can't producers just turn off the faucets on their oil wells?
The concern is that sometimes when you open the wells back up, they don't produce at the same rate.
To boost prices, the oil producers cartel OPEC, Russia, and the U.S. did begrudgingly agree to cut production earlier this month by about 10 million barrels a day. But clearly, given this negative price, it wasn't enough.
They need to go to 25 million barrels a day.
But many aren't sure that'll ever happen. Duncan Woods at the Wilson Center.
Markets really haven't believed that there is the political will behind the recent agreement from OPEC and OPEC Plus to cut production. And because of that, I think we've seen this continued slide in the price of oil.
This morning, the weirdness continues with crude oil for the month of May delivery listed as up 100% to 10 cents a barrel. And when will the price of oil really find its footing? Analysts say when the economy rebounds from coronavirus. Stocks are also down today. The Dow future down 422 points, 1.8%. The Senate is scheduled to meet today as Democrats and Republicans continue trying to hammer out a compromise on the latest coronavirus aid bill. The legislation's expected to allocate more than $300 billion to the depleted Paycheck Protection Loan Program for small businesses. Governors have been warning that they need more coronavirus testing to reopen their economies. Now, an ambitious new plan is offering a roadmap for how we might get there. The plan calls for a major mobilization that could cost up to $100 billion. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
The Rockefeller Foundation released the plan today, calling for a production effort akin to what took place in World War II in order to increase testing capacity to 30 million a week. Right now, the report says nationwide testing is stalled at about 1 million tests a week. Vice President Mike Pence said over the weekend that increased efficiencies alone could double that number, but the Rockefeller report says the government should invoke the Defense Production Act to balloon production levels. And it's calling for, among other things, a coordinated effort to understand global supply chains for testing. The philanthropic group gathered experts from various fields to come up with its recommendations. They believe testing on such a scale is necessary to open up the U.S. economy and prevent a full-blown depression. While such an effort would cost up to $100 billion, the report says the shutdown is costing the national economy 3 to 4 times that amount each month. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Schools are slowly preparing to open in China after its coronavirus peak. Certain school grades get to start first, so that means a large number of China's 270 million students are still learning online. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack.
It's time for an online art class for 6-year-old Pearl Ju. Her task? Find square or rectangular-shaped objects around the home. But distance learning has its limits, says Pearl's mom, Carol. Like if her daughter looks lost at school,
then the teacher will come up to you in most cases and, hey, what's wrong? Do you need extra help like this? It's impossible for parents to do the same, especially when we're working from home.
Another issue, tiny screens. Many students are watching video lessons on smart tablets or cell phones, like 7-year-old Ye Jisuan in central Hubei province. Her father, Ye Kun, worries.
My daughter complains sometimes that her eyes hurt.
It's also hard on educators. Here, a high school teacher in central Anhui province streams his Chinese lesson live. Minutes in, the screen goes black. A message pops up: this broadcast has violated regulations, though you can still hear him speak.
My gosh, what did I say?
He may never know. A lot of censorship online is done by artificial intelligence. And then there are the lessons that just don't translate on screen. This video shows a phys ed teacher wearing a swim cap and goggles. He dives onto a bed and does swimming strokes. This clip was done as a joke, though it's not that far off from 8-year-old Ada Lu's phys ed class, says her mother, Yang Weina.
Like the teacher has to record herself doing all the activities, use whatever she has at her own house, like just baskets.
She says it was tough to figure out online classes, but 7 weeks in, things are smoother. Which is just as well. No word yet on when her daughter can return to school. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Our producers, all sheltering in place in separate locations, are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Madrikas-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.